Chapter 11 Goodbyes. After our final briefing in New York, and before we flew out to the space elevator, Elsa and Dustin and I had been given a few days to settle our affairs on Earth. We didn't have to empty out our New York City apartment. Elsa had made a clever deal with Columbia University, where they assumed the mortgage and will maintain the place for the half-century we'll be gone. If we don't come back, it will be a unique, small museum. In the unlikely event that we do return, we can either step back into the old place or leave it as a museum and negotiate an alternative, probably more comfortable, living space with the university. I had to go say goodbye to my father, which I could no longer put off. He has two rooms in a Jewish-assisted living complex in Yonkers, which offers free room and board for people in his situation. He was in Israel for the first stage of the Gehenna attack, and so his body is suffused with the nanomachines that comprise half the poison. The second half could await him any place in Israel. People die every year when they return and open an old closet or something. I knew a man who went back and lived for years, then, for a reunion, put on his old army uniform and stopped breathing. Father had been in New York, staying in my apartment, when the bombs went off in Tel Aviv. I was going to bring my mother back to join him for a tour of the American West. Instead, I brought her ashes, months later. We have had few words since then, and none in Hebrew. When I greeted him with shalom, he stared at me for a long moment and said, "You should come in, it's raining." He made a pot of horrible tea, boiling it Australian style, and we sat on the porch and watched the rain come down. When I told him what I was about to do, he crept away and came back with a dusty bottle of brandy and tipped a half inch into our teacups, which was an improvement. "So you come to say goodbye, actually. God is too kind to give me another 50 years of this. You may outlive me. God can be cruel in his benevolence." "So now you believe in God. Wonders will never cease." "No more than you do. Unless living here has weakened your mind." "Living here has weakened my stomach. A constant assault of bad kosher cooking. A good son would have brought a ham sandwich." "I'll bring one if I come back. At 142, you'll need it even more." He closed his eyes. "Oh, please. You really think those alien bastards will kill you? They haven't been well disposed toward humans in the past. You did see the moon thing?" "Two nights running, yes. Some people here thought it was staged, a hoax." He sipped his tea, made a face, and added more brandy. "I know bupkis about science. I couldn't see how they'd fake that, though." "No. They could have faked the halo of dust, I supposed, but not the rain of gamma radiation. Orbiting monitors had pictures of the explosion, too, from farther out in the solar system. It's real. And it demands a response."
"Maybe. But why you?"
I shrugged. "I'm a diplomat."
"No, you're not. You're a spy. A spy for a country that hardly exists anymore."
"They needed 3 military people in the crew. Our triune was perfect because we wouldn't upset the social balance to other married couples."
"Your shiksa wife could upset some marriages. Your husband, I've never understood any of that."
I decided not to rise to that bait. "They got a diplomat, a doctor, and a philosopher."
"They got 3 spies, Namir. Or didn't they know that?"
"We're all military intelligence, Father. Soldiers, not spies." He rolled his eyes at that. "It's a new world," I said. I hoped, reasonably. "The American army has more officers in intelligence than in the infantry."
"I suppose the Israeli army, too. That did a lot of good with Gehenna."
"In fact, we did know something was about to happen. That's why I was called back to Tel Aviv."
"Something had already happened, if I recall correctly."
His face was a stone mask. "Maybe love could get through that. But I'd known for years that I'd never loved him, and it was mutual. He wasn't a bad man, but he'd never wanted to be a father, and did his best to ignore me and Naomi when we were growing up. I think I'm enough of a man to understand him and forgive. But love doesn't come from the brain, from understanding. I so didn't want to be there. And he released me. "Look, I can see you have a million things to do. I will take all my pills and try to be here when you come back, okay?" He stood and held out his arms. I clasped his fragile body. "Shalom," he finally said into my shoulder. "I know you will do well." I took the Skyway across to the Port Authority and walked a mile through the rain back to our apartment, saying goodbye to the city, more home to me than Tel Aviv or any other place. Life without restaurants. Walking by so many favorites, the Asian ones especially. But it was less about missing them than it was all the ones I'd been curious about and put off trying. I read that you could eat at a different restaurant for every meal in New York City and never eat at all of them. Does that mean that three new places were opened every day? A hollow I recognized as James Joyce abjured me to come into a new place, Finnegan's Wake, and have a pint of Guinness. I checked my watch and went in for a small one. A quartet was holding forth around the piano, with more spirit than talent, but it was pleasant. When I left, the rain was more forceful, but it wasn't cold, and I had a hat. I rather liked it. 11 years, eating computer-generated, healthy, recycled shit. Well, I'd survived on army rations for some years. How bad could it be? When Elsa came home, we'd have to decide where to go for dinner, the last one in this city. Maybe we should just walk until we got hungry and take whatever appeared. I was going to miss the noise and the crowds, and the odd pockets of quiet, like the postage stamp park behind our apartment, two benches, and a birdbath running over as I took my last look. Neither Elsa nor Dustin was home. The place felt large without them. About 1,200 square feet. In Ad Astra, we'd have 3 cabins, each less than 100 square feet. Wrong comparison. How many square feet did I have aboard the Golda Meir? A hot hammock, shared with 2 other guys. We were allowed to take 15 kilograms of personal items, including clothing, though we'd be supplied utility clothing and 1 formal uniform. What would that look like? Tailor-made to impress creatures who live forever in liquid nitrogen? They probably dress up all the time. Dress warmly, son. It's only going up to -253. Books. I immediately picked out the slim leather-bound volume of Shakespeare's sonnets my first wife gave me, the only Passover we shared. I took a small drawing of her out of its frame and trimmed it with scissors so it would fit inside the book. I took some comfortable worn jeans out of the closet, but then traded them for some newer ones. They will have to last 13 years, or at least 6 and a half. A chamois shirt from L.L. Bean, army exercise outfit, comfortable leather moccasins. There were hundreds of books I would have enjoyed having, but of course the ship would have all of them in its memory. Likewise movies and feelies. I should take a few books I could read over and over in case the library malfunctioned. A volume of Amachai, one of Cummings. A large, slim book with all of Vermeer. I hesitated over the balalaika. It gave me pleasure, but the others probably wouldn't like it much, even if I were talented. No one in the world except Elsa thought that I was. It would probably wind up going out the airlock and maybe me with it. 3 blocks of fine-grained koa wood and 2 carving knives with a sharpening stone. The bathroom scale said 8 kilograms. I decided to leave it at that and let Elsa make up the difference with clothes. That would benefit all 3 of us. She would never admit it, but she liked dressing up a little, and was easier to get along with if she felt she looked attractive. To me, she would look fine in a potato sack. I sat down at my writing desk, opened the right-hand drawer, and lifted out the 10.5-millimeter Glock, with all its reassuring and troubling weight. Illegal in New York City, despite the state and federal permits clipped to the side of its shoulder holster. It would be a central exhibit in the apartment museum. With this weapon, Namir Zahari killed 4 looters who attacked him in the ruins of Tel Aviv. And no others, of course. No others, certainly. It would not be that kind of diplomacy. I wiped it clean with an oil-impregnated cloth. The breech smelt of cold metal and faraway fire. I'd last use it at a pistol range in New Jersey, first week of January. Elsa'd been with me, with her little 32, an annual family custom that would not be welcome on Ad Astra. Putting it away, I had a familiar, specific feeling of memento mori. 2 of our team in the Gehenna cleanup committed suicide, both with Israeli-issued pistols like this one. I used to wonder how much horror and sadness I could absorb before that kind of exit seemed attractive or necessary. I'm fairly sure now it couldn't happen. I'm not set up that way. I'll keep plugging along until my luck runs out, my time runs out, along with 8 billion others, perhaps, at the same instant. Though what does at the same instant mean in our situation? 24 years later? Or perhaps the others have a way around Einsteinian simultaneity. My phone pinged, and it was Dustin. He was landing at Towers in a few minutes. He'd already talked to Elsa, and they'd decided to meet for dinner at the Four Seasons, okay? I said I'd make an early reservation for 7. 1 hour away, plenty of time to walk. The rain was over and not programmed to resume until tomorrow. I put on evening clothes and left the Glock in the drawer. Strapped the little 289 Browning to my right ankle. Called security and told them the route I'd be walking. There was already someone on duty down the block, they said. The same one who'd followed me back from New Jersey. I walked the stairs to the basement and went out through the service entrance of the apartment building next door. No one in the alley. It had been years since the tail had caught anyone, but that one time saved my life. I recognized this one, a small black man, as I passed him at the first intersection, but of course we didn't acknowledge one another. That would be one nice thing about leaving the earth behind. I wouldn't have to worry about bodyguards, though I'd never faced a more dangerous adversary. So much for my romantic stroll with Elsa and our usually invisible companion, ending in a random restaurant. I thought Dustin was going to be in Houston till the next morning. I was a fifth wheel down there anyhow, he explained as I sat down at the elegant table. My 2 projects put on hold for 1/2 a century. There'll be political curiosities when I come back. We're political curiosities already, I said. What's a spook without a country? He politely didn't say that I should know. We talked shop for a few minutes. I'd worked out of Houston for a year sometime back and made friends there. When Elsa showed up, I nodded to the human waiter, and he poured us each a glass of Puy Fuissé and returned the bottle to ice. I held up a glass. To getting back alive. To getting there alive, she said, and we all touched glasses. You wrote to Carmen Dula and the others? It went up on the elevator day before yesterday. Since Ad Astra was technically part of the fleet, we weren't allowed to contact it electronically, so I sent a paper note telling them we'd be on the next elevator. It's too strange, Dustin said. We're going to spend 13 years with these people, and we can't even chat beforehand. Worse for them. We can at least look up their bios and news stories, millions of words for her and Paul Collins. But they shouldn't be able to find a single word about us. You enjoy being a man of mystery, she said. Poor little Mars girl won't have a chance. You doctors are all about sex. It hadn't crossed my mind. Elsa looked at me over her glass. She's an old hag, anyhow. 8 months older than you, but you knew that. Maybe we should have just snuck up on them, Dustin said. This way they'll have plenty of time to get dressed and put away the sex toys. Dream on, Elsa said. The maitre d' came over, and we negotiated the complex combination of food ration credits, legitimate currency, and hard cash that dinner would cost. Maybe by the time we got back, they'd have that mess straightened out. Meanwhile, it cost the same no matter what your entree was, so I had pheasant under glass. Very, very good. With the coffee and dessert, we mostly talked about what we were leaving behind. We'd all been visiting family, Elsa in Kansas and Dustin in California. I told them about the uncomfortable meeting with my father. Elsa had a warm family reunion all weekend, but Dustin's parents were even worse than mine. They're old anarchists, and I have hardly spoken to him since he joined the service. Now they're deniers, convinced that the whole thing is a government conspiracy. They live in an earth-love commune surrounded by like-minded zealots. Dustin fled when he turned 18, 11 years ago. They claim to be self-sufficient, he said of the commune, trading organic dairy goods for things they can't raise on the farm. But even when I was a kid, I could tell something was fishy. We all lived too well. There was money coming in from somewhere. Now who's paranoid? Elsa said.
You could have them investigated, I said. Section E audit.
Well, they were, of course, back when I joined the farce. I've read the file, but it doesn't go beyond a few background checks. My parents and the commune's leaders, all harmless nuts.
You want them to be more interesting than that?
Dad was always hinting that the commune was part of something big. When I was old enough, I'd be brought into the inner circle.
I'd heard the story. But you ran away anyhow.
Along with most of my generation. Not many people under 50 there now. He tasted his coffee and added more hot. That's typical of cults. Once the charismatic leader dies or leaves. That was Randy Miles Brewer. He was pretty senile when I left.
Dead now? Elsa said.
He shrugged. Technically not. He's composting away in some LX center in San Francisco.
The life extension centers could keep you going past legal brain death in some states, as long as blood or some equivalent fluid kept circulating.
So tell me, who pays for that? It'd be a lot of eggs and cheese.
You could subpoena their records, I said.
He waved it away. Don't want to cause my parents any grief. In 50 years, it'll all be in some dusty file in Washington or Sacramento. I'll look it up then.
They might still be alive.
Not with natural medicine. Your dad has a better chance at, what, 90?
92. He says he'll try to wait it out, but I don't think he'll try hard. That age, if you don't really enjoy life, you won't get much more of it.
It feels strange, Elsa said, her voice a little husky, saying goodbye to my granddad and Jima. If I were staying on Earth, I might have 20 more years with him.
Think of it as being social pioneers, Dustin said, the social protocols of relativity. When you come back, you'll be 13 years older. But your parents and grandparents...
She broke the moment of silence by laughing, with an edge of hysteria.
Like it'll make any difference. Chances are, we're not...
Elsa, I said, sweetheart, we ought to make it a rule. We don't talk about the end until it's near. There's no use plowing the same field over and over.
I don't think that's healthy, Dustin said, ignoring reality. When you were in combat, you guys never talked about dying?
I tried to be honest. In the Faith War, no, not much. But we were all 18 and 19 and felt immortal. When someone got killed, it was like a supernatural visitation. Gehenna was totally different. I mean, there were bodies everywhere you looked. So after a while, they were just part of the scenery. It was more dangerous, I guess, with all the loonies and looters, but the corpses, they were like a dream landscape, a nightmare. They weren't individuals. You didn't see yourself becoming one of them. They nodded, as if they hadn't heard all this before. Turning points in life bring out the same old stories, even among relativity pioneers. This was the wrong place. It was becoming a fashionable hour for the rich and famous. The Four Seasons was filling up and getting loud with background chatter, people wanting to be noticed. We three, arguably the most talked about people here, definitely didn't want to be noticed.
Our identities hadn't been revealed, and wouldn't be as long as friends and relatives cooperated, until we were safely in orbit. We took the Fifth Avenue and Soho slidewalks back, less for the time saved than from a desire to be part of a crowd. We dawdled at the entrance and transfer point so my bodyguard could catch up. When we got to the condo door, I gave him the goodbye signal, stroking an eyebrow twice. "Same old signal," Dustin said as he palmed the nightlock.
"Yeah,
I'd change it if I thought someone might actually be after me. If somebody really wanted my ass, they'd have it by now.
So you're wearing flared trousers for the look, Elsa said.
Force of habit.
Once we were in the elevator, I pulled the ankle holster off.
A 289, she said. Not with legal rounds, I hope.
Neuros. I'd never fired one at a person, but they were impressive on a dummy. Smart round that finds an eye and blows a small-shaped charge across the frontal lobes.
Jesus, Dustin said. You got them where?
I laughed, thumbing the door open. Jesus had nothing to do with it.
Boys and toys.
Elsa went by me, flopped down on the couch, and slipped her shoes off.
So I get to take an extra 7 kilos of clothes?
Only sexy ones, Dustin said.
I don't have 7 kilos of the kind you like. That'd be about 100 outfits.
I sat in the easy chair and picked up the balalaika and plucked an arpeggio.
Say you're not taking the banjo, Dustin said, with hope in his voice.
No, I'll be in my 60s when we get back. Take it up seriously then, as a retirement project.
Elsa laughed. You'll retire about a year after you're dead.
I had a sudden impulse to throw the instrument against the wall, just to do something unpredictable. Instead, I set it gently against the bookcase.
I don't know. In a way, this is early retirement. Cleaned out my desk to embark on a new life of travel and adventure.
Or stay in one room for 13 years trying not to go mad, Dustin said.
There is that. I wonder whether they've packed enough straitjackets.
Elsa got up and went to the refrigerator.
Wine?
She poured 2 glasses of white wine and a small glass of vermouth for herself. Bunched them together in 2 hands and brought them over to the coffee table.
I'm kind of torn, she said. Maybe go out to the Galapagos early, do some snorkeling.
Dustin held his glass up to her.
I'll catch up with you. Say goodbye to London and Paris, maybe Kyoto. Come from the other direction.
City boy.
Don't care much for the water. Fish fuck in it.
She arched an eyebrow.
People do, too.
I'll wait for 0G.
He looked at me.
You've been there.
It was all men. None of them appealed to me.
I mean the Galapagos, diving.
Wasn't recreational, bomb threat to the elevator.
I remember the note said something about Gehenna.
Someone in personnel must have sat down and entered Gehenna/skindive/license to kill.
Elsa sighed.
And I'm still on my learner's permit.
Well, you've got 4 days. I could get you a quick transfer to the zone. You'd get more experience in 4 days than I've had in 20 years.
I'll think about it. Did you see many fish there?
Not so many pretty ones. You want to go into the shallows, the reefs near the shore, unless you're after big sharks.
Maybe, maybe not.
They're protected. If one bites you and gets sick, there's a huge fine.
But you were there before, Dustin said.
25 years ago, first wife. I could hardly get her out of the water, sharks and all.
You think of her a lot, she said.
I tried to be accurate. Her image comes to me often. I don't sit and dwell on the memory of her.
I know that. I guess that's what I meant. She shook her head. Crazy time.
We're all dwelling on the past these days, Dustin said, leaving everything behind. There was so much I didn't want to say. She gave me the Shakespeare book in the morning. At noon she took one breath and died. Was it more or less horrible that it happened to so many at the same time?
You're the philosopher, I said. I'm more an engineer, cause and effect.
Elsa was watching me closely. I don't think I'd ever raised this directly with her before.
We were crazy in love like school kids. And although I know it was all blood chemistry boiling away, brain chemistry, still we were addicted to each other. The sight and sound and smell of each other like a heroin addict to his junk.
Been there, Elsa said. But you never lost anyone the way I lost her.
Like a sudden traumatic amputation.
Worse, because you can buy a new arm or leg, and it'll do. So that's what I am? You're...
No. It's not simple.
She picked at a nail, concentrating. I had a friend lost a leg before she was 20, AP mine in Liberia. She said the new one did everything she asked it to. But it was never really part of her, just an accessory. She stood up. I better pack some clothes. She put her glass in the refrigerator and went into the bedroom.
For a diplomat, Dustin said softly, you don't have an awful lot of tact.
I don't have to be a diplomat with you and her, do I?
Of course not. He got up and went to the fridge. Cheese?
I just ate a whole bird.
A little one.
He set out 5 chunks of cheese, including 1/2 a wheel of brie, and put them on a platter with some bread and a knife.
They won't have cows in Ad Astra.
I sliced off a piece of something blue. Not going to keep for 50 years, he said.
Not much will.
I was still seeing her. Gehenna will just be a history lesson to most people.
He broke the lengthening silence.
Her name was Mira?
Moira. My father approved of her. Nice Jewish girl. I think he's a little scared of Elsa.
Who wouldn't be?
I'll give you something to be scared of, she said from the bedroom, bantering, the hurt gone from her voice.
Best offer I've had today, he said.
I didn't hear her walking up behind me, barefoot. She put both hands lightly on my head and tangled my hair with her fingers.
I'll sleep with Namir tonight.
Okay by me, I said.
We have to talk.
She rubbed my temples.
You can love her. You will love her always.
But you have to leave her here.
Here on Earth.
I think that's already done. Literally, anyhow.
We'll talk about it.
She went back to the large bedroom. I joined her there an hour later, and we did talk. Moira was my generation. A year older than me, but forever young to Elsa, and not much I could do about that. She wanted to know what Moira and I had done that I didn't do with her. And I tried not to think of it as an invasion of privacy. Of course, the big thing she couldn't do was have me as a 25-year-old lad, and there was another thing I didn't mention, to preserve the woman's dead dignity. But I did describe a trick Moira would do with her breasts, and we were both happy and relieved when she made it work. Elsa's a little self-conscious about her small breasts, as Moira was about her large ones. I decided not to bring that up. While we lay there entwined, the diplomat in me affirmed that I could leave Moira here on Earth. I didn't say that part of me would stay with her, too. Neither of us buried, neither dead. I pretended to be asleep, as always, when she slipped away to join Dustin, thinking furiously about the lies that grace our lives.